Philip Van Winkle has been in a study of the book of 3 John. And now, here's Philip.
Last time we talked a little bit about a man named Diotrephes. He was a man who wanted to have the preeminence. He wanted to be first place in the church. He wanted to, as it were, be what you and I might refer to him as a little pope dictating to his church. And so that's the man, Diotrephes. As we have studied in 3 John, let's notice just a few points that we have already looked at and some things that we will continue to look at. A few lessons that we can learn is that, first of all, the mission of the church is to preach the gospel to the whole world. That's what we are here to do. Secondly, there will always be those who are inclined to be selfish and to be stingy with the Lord's money and not to want to give. Thirdly, you and I will give an account to God. That's what we learn, as we said last time, verse 10 of 3 John, where it says, "I will come and I will remember his deeds, which he doeth." And so we learned in third that we will give an account to God. Fourth, that envy and jealousy and egotism go hand in hand just with how the man Diotrephes was. Fifthly, whatever is done, you and I are going to need to do it out of a spirit of love and genuine care. Now, we're going to learn a little bit today about that. And so if you have your Bibles, we invite you to study along with us in 3 John, and we'll begin in verse 10. He says, "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds," talking about Diotrephes. "I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." Verse 11, "But, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath a good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true." And so now we're going to start talking about a man named Demetrius. You see, there's always going to be dedicated, Bible-loving, and God-fearing Christians in every congregation. Even when it seems like the church is dead in the eyes of God, as was the case with the church in Sardis, as recorded in Revelation chapter 3, there were still some good folks in there. He says in Revelation chapter 3, John writing says, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." And Diotrephes, he may have been able to run over some of the brethren, but there were some strong men who, it appears, would even stand against him. Demetrius didn't fear what men would say of him, what might happen to him. Demetrius was a man who was a lover of doing that which was right. And so on one hand, you have Demetrius, who loved to do what's right. And on the other hand, you have a man named Diotrephes, who wanted to be number one. He wanted to have the first place in the church. And isn't that how it still goes today? You have people who really want to do what's right in the church, and you have people there who just really want to make a name for themselves. Well, Demetrius, it says, he has a good report of all men and of the truth itself. And we also bear record. He's not asking for praise. Demetrius isn't. He doesn't need or desire any accolades from the pulpit. He doesn't want people to write about him in the church building. He simply goes about doing good. He is one of what you and I might consider the silent workers in the church. But there are those in the church, sadly, who don't want to do anything unless they can be recognized for it. I can remember visiting a congregation overseas one time, and one of the older men had asked one of the younger men to do something. I believe it was like taking care of moving the water bottles during the gospel meeting. And the young man, I sort of talked with him a little while, and he had said to me that he didn't really like being the guy who had to move the water bottles because no one ever could see the work that he was doing. Well, now we can sort of see the differences in the attitudes of Demetrius and those of Diotrephes. Demetrius didn't care about who got any of the accolades. He just wanted to please God. And so Demetrius, even in the face of being expelled from the church, or at least from Diotrephes' church, he continued to help the work of Christ. Folks, we need to be people like that. The Proverbs writer says in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." Now, it's one thing if your brethren will speak kindly of you. It's one thing if people in the world will say, "You know, that Philip, he sure is a good guy. He sure is a good Christian." That's all right. But folks, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And the only way I can have a good name is by doing what God says. That's how I'm to be living my life. Demetrius did that, and he was commended for it. I also think it's interesting about Demetrius. I wonder if he did good even though the budget had already been allocated for that year. Well, you and I know how that works, right? You have a certain budget in the church, and this is how much the budget is, and this is all that we have the money to do. Folks, a budget in the church is good. I'm not saying we shouldn't have a budget in the church. We should. But when the budget gets in the way of doing what God says, then something needs to be done about the budget. Romans chapter 12, verse 20 and 21 says, "Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him drink. Be not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good." Someone comes and knocks on your door and says, "I sure am hungry and I sure could use some food this month. You know, we've fallen on hard times." And the church says, "Well, we understand that. We appreciate it. But you know, it's not really in our budget." Folks, sometimes budgets get in the way of doing the Lord's work. Again, I'm not against budgets. I think they're necessary. But a budget does not take the place of you and I doing good works above and beyond just what the budget says. So John encouraged the brethren to do good instead of evil. Sometimes, brethren, they want to know, how do you deal with troublemakers like Diotrephes? How is it that we are to deal? We have someone in our congregation who's like Diotrephes. He always wants to get his way. He's a bully. He runs over everyone in the church. Folks, the answer is very simple. You deal with him the same way you would deal with your body if it had a cancerous growth. You have really basically one of two options. You either cure it or you cut it out. If you don't, it will end up killing the body. Some people say, "Oh, well, we can't cut it out. That means we're going to have to tell him to stop worshiping with us." Well, no, it doesn't actually mean that. It means you're going to have to stop giving him opportunity to be in any kind of position where he can hurt the church. But even if that means that he needs to stop, folks, when you have a cancer in your body and you cannot cure it, the only option you have is to get rid of it. Paul would write in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, "We command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, not after the tradition you have received of us." He would say in Romans 16 verse 17, "I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have heard, and avoid them." Listen, "For they are such that serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies. By good words and fair speech they deceive the hearts of the simple." And so you and I are told under no uncertain terms, if we have a Diotrephes in the Lord's church, you and I need to know what to do to get rid of it and to get rid of him. Folks, it's a very simple matter. Again, he says in 2 Thessalonians, let's look at that passage again. "Brethren," he says, "withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly." Let me ask you a question. Was Diotrephes walking disorderly? Of course he was. They had the answer before them. They should have known what they were to do. He would say, I beseech you, mark them which are causing division. Folks, always the Lord's church needs to do what the Lord says, but sometimes it is necessary. It is necessary if a brother has been corrupting the church, has been causing division in the church, it is necessary to do what the Lord says. Go to him one-on-one. If that doesn't work, take someone with you. If that doesn't work, bring it before the church. If that doesn't work, folks, the only option we have left is what we are told right here, to withdraw ourselves from such a one who would cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Someone says, well, what if it's one of the chief men? Hey, what if it's someone in the church who he does all the praying, or he's the one that does the song leading? Well, what are we going to do if our song leader is like this? Folks, it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter who it is. If he is causing divisions in the Lord's church, remove him or cure him. Those are the options that we have. So now as we come to the end of the book, we're just about ready to end, and John says, I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust that I shall shortly see thee, and I will speak to thee face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. He said, I had many things that I wanted to write, but I will not write it with ink and pen because I'm coming to see you. Hey, if Diotrephes doesn't want to see me, hey, it doesn't matter. I'm still coming. You see, John had a work to do. And you and I, we cannot let brethren who think that they're bigger than they are stop us from doing the work that we need to do. And then he says, peace be to you. How encouraging it must have been for Gaius to read this, to have an apostle of Jesus Christ grant him peace and say, you know, this is what you need to do. If you will do these things, you will be surrounded and in the midst of peace. Folks, you and I have the Word of God, and we can live by it. We can learn from it, as we have learned in the book of 3 John, that by doing what God says, He gives to us real peace.